I'm going to do something that I think is pretty simple meditation this morning. St. Francis is often accredited with the idea of nativity sets, or at least using nativity sets as a meditative exercise to enter into the story. And so he imagined people sitting and looking at a nativity set and taking a moment on each character and considering, where do I find myself in this story? And so I want to read a little bit of the Christmas story and then take a few moments and ask you, where do you find yourself entering into this story? So listen first from the Gospel of Luke. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told them." And then we understand this little bit from the Gospel of Luke to happen sometime after that. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's talk about some of the people that we meet in the Christmas story. I think maybe the angels are the ones who are absolutely all in. They have no reservations. They have no questions. There's nothing holding them back from making announcements or singing praise, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill with all with whom God is pleased." So you enter into the story and you find an angel and you see, I would imagine, a bright and glowing face. There's no hint of sorrow. There's no hint of downcast. There's no hint of worry or weariness. The angels seem to be the ones who are all in, ready to go. They can say, "We are here to praise God for what God has done," and there's no but to anything that they have to offer. And that may be you. That may be you as you enter into the story. You are just so excited about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. There's no holding you back. There's no but to your celebration. Glory to God in the highest. And we know that the angels made the declaration and the announcement to the shepherds. And the shepherds go on this journey. I think it's amazing to see where they started and where they ended up. We said this a little bit on Christmas Eve night, that the shepherds, I think, started their evening oblivious to what was going on. They were doing what they had done a bunch of times before, just watching over the flocks, doing the kind of things that shepherds do. And they're unaware of what is happening around them or what is getting ready to happen around them until the angel of the Lord comes, and then the host of heaven, and they're filled with fear. So they move from being oblivious to being afraid of what is happening and unsure. But then after they hear the announcement, they are curious enough to go and investigate. And once they see the thing that they have been told of, they return to their place rejoicing and praising God. You see that the journey that they're on, and the fact even that they go back to where they started is an indication that things have changed for them, but their circumstances, by and large, are still the same. They are rejoicing because of a hope that they have seen, but it's a hope that is still a hope. This child is still a baby. Not a whole lot has changed for the shepherds this night, but they have the hope that maybe one day something big will happen, some change will be made, that hope will be realized. And so maybe that's you, to enter into the story of the shepherd somewhere along the way, oblivious to it all or still nervous and fearful, maybe curious, or maybe praising God, but then, well, tomorrow's Monday and we got to go back to work. Christmas was nice, but did it really change anything for us right now? Maybe you can enter into the story where the shepherds are. The shepherds we know here about this baby that's going to be wrapped up in swaddling cloths, and when they arrive, that is what they find, and they see the little baby's parents standing there as well. I'll start with Mary. Luke tells us that Mary is tending to the child, and her response to all of this is treasuring all these things up in her heart. That is a fascinating way to describe the way a lot of us are around Christmas. The picture of holding a candle, of singing Silent Night, of thinking about what does all of this mean? And we prefer the quiet, contemplative, silent night, holy night, to the exuberant joy of joy to the world. Mary seems to be an observer of what is happening. She's been obedient to everything so far, but at the same time as things unfold, she's using her ears and she's using her eyes more than anything else. She's contemplating what is happening around her. And that may be something that resonates with you. If you are a person who observes and watches, who considers things, who thinks about them a lot, maybe that's the way that you enter into the Christmas story. She's there with Joseph. Joseph, interestingly, has some things that he does that are reported for us more in Matthew, but once the whole thing starts happening and unfolding, Joseph doesn't say a lot. I found that fascinating. He's there. He's obedient. But he's a silent character. If you spend some time looking at a nativity set, you'll start to realize that at the feet of the Messiah, there's really only one person who's qualified to be there. Do you remember Mary is, at this point, a shunned teenage pregnant woman? At this point, the shepherds that we learn about are pushed to the side because they are unclean because of their duties. The Magi that we'll get to in just a little bit, they are Gentiles, so they're not really qualified to draw this close to the Son of God. Joseph, we understand, is Jewish, and he's male, so he is the in crowd. Is he the only one qualified to draw near to God? And isn't it fascinating that the only one who has status is the one who is the quietest, or the one that we hear the least from in this story. Poor Joseph doesn't have any speaking parts in the nativity story. I wonder what that says when we have this gathering of people from far off, and Joseph, who is qualified and is part of the in crowd, is the one who doesn't say as much. Maybe that is indicative of what the reign and the rule of Christ will be like. It certainly is the kind of thing that we see when Jesus starts preaching and teaching, the kinds of people that he includes. The Magi are here. I think we'll hear more about the Magi next week. But the Magi bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We don't know as much about them as we think we know about them. But we do know that they are not qualified to be there because they're Gentile. They seem to be star chasers. They seem to be people that would be roundly accused of bad practices according to the Hebrew law. And yet they're there. They're there because they're curious. I think as I think about the nativity stories, I'm drawn in to the Magi because these are people who represent the far reaches of God's grace. What are they doing there? And yet, there they are. And maybe that's where you enter into the story. For you, maybe you don't feel like a Joseph who is part of the in crowd or who is deserving. Maybe you feel more like a Magi who is more undeserving. Maybe you feel like a Magi who has a background that would disqualify you from drawing near to God. And yet, there you are, included, right at the center of things. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that this assemblage of souls gathered around the foot of the cross, the foot of the cradle? Isn't it great, this assemblage of souls that stand for us at the beginning of the Gospels as representative of the kind of people that Jesus is going to spend his life with, the kind of people that Jesus is going to give his life for. And so I bet this morning, if we decided to do an exercise where we stood up and if we were into multisensory learning, I would have you do this. I'd have a picture on the wall of each one of the people that are gathered, and we'd all go to the place where you identify. I bet we might be evenly split. I bet we have some people in here that are just ready to praise God like the angels. I bet we have some people in here that feel like they're on a journey with the shepherds. We probably have some people here like Mary who are just quietly, internally, trying to figure out everything. We probably have some people here who are like Joseph, who maybe are used to being in positions of power but wonder what it means that this Jesus has shown up and levels the playing field. Or maybe we have some people here who are like Magi, who are feeling drawn in but still in the back of their mind wondering, am I qualified to be here? Isn't it great that that's what we see in a nativity set? Isn't it great that that's what the gospel writers want us to see in a nativity set? Isn't it great that St. Francis had some ideas about what it means to sit and consider the story by looking at a set like this one? By the way, this is a set that was given to the church from mission partners from South Africa. And so it is unique to that culture. You can come up and look at it if you want to. But my question today for you is, where do you find yourself in this story? Because you are here. Jesus came for you, and you are invited to draw near to the cradle. And there is space for you to do that. I think everybody is represented in this gang that is gathered around the cradle. And that means this Jesus who has been born is for us all. So we can praise God for the gift that we have been given. Now, friends, let us continue to worship by standing and singing "What Child Is This?"